magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's September 24th, 2014. T-minus 43 days and counting, Jason. Do you know what that means?
I know what it means.
You know what it means. Tasha's olive oil order will be going into effect, huh?
Supplies are gone. So she's like, are you going? I need olive oil. I need olive oil. So you've got a little fund set up. It's in an envelope on the refrigerator.
And that's 43 days we'll be leaving for our trip to Israel. Our November trip, and there's still room for a few of you if you've entertained the idea of going to the Holy Land to walk where Jesus walked. We can talk it through over the phone. There's probably still time if you expedite your passport needs. They can have that all processed and readied for you.
I think 30 days. I think if you get below 30 days is when they really can't do it, but 30 days and it's not horrible. I think you can do it in a couple days, but don't you have to go up to Chicago and then you've got to stand in long lines and spend a whole day doing the thing. But I think in 30 days, you can still go down to Mattis Street and get that all taken care of.
Yep. In fact, I'm thinking there's a number of farmers that are doing that harvest early that at this point they're thinking, you know what, the harvest will be in. I could probably go on that trip. So give me a call. We'll give you some information about it. We'd love to have you journey with us. It's a 10-day tour. Co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo will be facilitating a time of learning, of teaching, of discussion. James Mark Maxey, he's going to bring along his guitar, providing worship, and it's going to be a great group of people. So give me a call, 217-367-7777, if you want to know more information about our 10-day tour to Israel, November 6th through the 15th. And maybe with Pastor Appreciation Month around the corner, maybe it's a gift that you would like to send to him and maybe the First Lady on the tour, or maybe it's an early Christmas gift and you can get with your committee tonight and talk about it and give me a call. I'll fill you in because it'll be a life changer for him. Two things coming up this weekend before we cover some topics, Jason. Thursday, the Alpha Course begins at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. I've been talking about that a little and earlier this week with our special guests. It's a great way to learn some of the foundational truths of the Christian faith and why to study the Bible, who is this Jesus, what is sin, and a number of topics. It's an 8-week series from 6 to 8 p.m. It includes a meal, so you have to RSVP ASAP. And so that's happening beginning on Thursday night. And then Friday, the Singing Men of GNN will open up with the national anthem at the women's volleyball match at Huff Gym. Tickets are only $5, and if you're bringing along children or grandchildren, it's $2. You can purchase those at the door. So it's a great deal. Free parking, that's another big asset. You don't have to pay for parking at Huff Gym on the corner of 4th and Gregory Drive in Champaign. It begins at 7 p.m., but get there early because the Singing Men of GNN will open up with the national anthem at 7 o'clock. In fact, what Steve thought would be a quick little rehearsal on Monday night to cover the national anthem in 5 or 7 minutes turned into about a 30 or 40 minute. Oh boy, we have some work on this. So pray us up. We do want to demonstrate a good rendering of that national anthem before the volleyball match. And I know we have a number of new guys, so that'll be festive. It's always a fun gathering. They have hot dogs and fixins in Huff Hall. So if you get there early, you can get one of those pretzels or a beverage or something and enjoy some competitive
volleyball. And unlike some of the other sports, I mean, they win, don't they?
Yeah.
Or you don't have to get some kind of counseling as you're watching them. I mean, the football team, every time I watch, I think, like, this is not good for my blood pressure or my stress.
Yeah, they come from behind. I don't know what's going to happen this week in Nebraska. It's going to be a tough one. It's the Big Ten, and I think we've only won once in the last, like, 2 years, a Big Ten game. And so, I don't know. Yeah, the Fighting Illini, the come from behind. But, yeah, the women's volleyball team, we're ranked, so it should be pretty competitive. It's against Maryland, and it's always fun. And these women athletes, I mean, you know, these are some big women. I mean, you know, they're tall. Obviously, if you're in volleyball, most of them are 6 feet or taller. And
I don't think you can, like, say big women. Yeah, I don't think you should say that. I think maybe, like, athletic. Yeah. Robust is a good word I've learned.
Yeah, okay. I'll make notice. Let's see. Okay, so that. I wrote down a few notes. IV, sexuality and gender war, Al Mohler, atheist alarm, Muhammad and the makings of Islam. Any topics kind of jump out at you?
You just lead the way and I'll follow.
Well, you've piqued my interest, and I'm going to do a little more research on Al Mohler and the program. I guess he gives a daily, not a blog, like
it's a daily audio. You can access it through podcasts or you can access it through albertmohler.com. That's albertmohler.com. And there it's called The Briefing. And what it is it's news.
And is Mohler two L's?
Nope. M-O-H-L-E-R.
Okay.
And it's news and events of the world through a Christian perspective. And so what he generally does is takes news articles or big topics and then helps us to understand from a Christian worldview what this might mean for us. And he's been historically very correct on a lot of the issues in terms of what he sees, how news is coming, and what he sees coming from that into the future. So it's really interesting, and it helps a lot to understand perspectives. I mean, he uses newspapers and news resources from all over the country. He's the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. But he's able to kind of synthesize all this for us to help us to understand what the bigger picture might be. You know, it might be a small event, but this one small event might actually play into how something – it might be the beginnings of a snowball is what I would say.
And I know Janet Parshall, In the Market with Jan Parshall, she does a little of this during her two-hour broadcast on WGNN. But I'm kind of intrigued because I think it's real helpful for us to take current events, match it up with Scripture, find out the biblical worldview, how we should be looking at it and examining it. And you said you seldom miss one of his posts.
I listen every day, almost religiously, whether I'm in the car. It's about 13 minutes, whether I'm in the car, whether I'm at work, whatever I'm doing. I always try and pull it up and listen to it at some point during the day. Sometimes there are times when I'll listen to it two or three times, or I'll pull Tasha and say, you got to listen to this, especially when he's been talking about homeschooling or he's been talking about what's been happening in terms of education. So there's no topics that are off limits. He pretty much tackles every topic. He's had some really interesting thoughts on, now we saw the vote for Scotland, they remained in the United Kingdom, but he really had some interesting thoughts in terms of if Scotland was to break away from the United Kingdom, what would this mean for other places in the world where there was a dissatisfaction with being united? For he said, for us as Christians and for Western Christians, we're bound by this thing called the United States. So if there's a precedent for breaking up of that which was once united, how does that affect us and impact us? I think Voltaire said that every snowball begins with a few snowflakes rolling in the same direction. And so it's just this idea of what's going to happen. So,
was he the one that highlighted the atheist alarm, or one of the readings that you had where with the advancement or the growth of Islam, that the atheists are now starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we might be on the firing line here?
I actually saw the interview with Bill Maher. It did an interview with Charlie Rose. And in it, Charlie Rose was a little bit more liberal, thinking that Islam is not necessarily a negative, but kind of a neutral positive is what I think we would call Charlie Rose's more liberal view of Islam. But Bill Maher, who is an atheist, devout atheist, if anybody's ever watched his show and gotten an idea, you know, gotten a kind of a snapshot of him, he's not a friend of the Christians, loves to demolish, destroy, and attack every religion. Well, as I've been studying Islam, I've been thinking about, well, what does the Quran say? What does the Hadith say? What does the Sharia say?
And maybe explain what the Hadith, some of these
sure.
things are.
Sure. Well, the Quran is their, what they consider to be their holy text. The Hadith is the writing.
The equivalent of the Bible for us.
Sure. The equivalent of the Bible. Hadith is a commentary on that. It's like the journal of the Prophet Muhammad. And then the Sharia is the law that governs all that. Because what a lot of us don't understand is we have a separation between church and state. In Islam, there's not a separation between church and state. The religious ideology is a part of the governing mechanism. So what we read in the Quran is applicable for government. It's applicable for that. And so, you know, when it says in the Quran, it's very clear about beheading, about cutting off of hands, about death as punishment. Those things are then in Sharia law. And so we have these interviews with atheists. So we have Bill Maher, he's on Charlie Rose, and he's doing this, and the topic of Islam comes up. And Bill Maher, which was a very strange thing, he said, Islam is a religion that is very dangerous. Charlie Rose says, well, I don't think so. I don't understand why you're saying this. And Bill Maher said, look, if you draw a picture of Jesus Christ, you're not going to get killed. If you leave the church, the Christian church, nobody's going to come after you and try and kill you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in a church in America, nobody, your family's not going to disown you. Now, it might be harder at Thanksgiving and that, but they're not going to disown you or try and kill you. And he said, but these things are applicable to Islam. And so when you listen to that interview, you immediately go, wait a second. It sounds as if he's defending us. And there's another notable, they're called the New Atheists. It's a New Atheist movement. Richard Dawkins would be kind of considered their figurehead. But Sam Harris, another very notable and very anti-Christian atheist, New Atheist, he's begun to write blog posts which are favorable towards the Christian tenet. Why? Because the atheists can argue openly for their disbelief with believers of Christianity, and there's no retribution. It is.
Yeah, we don't go out and just kill an atheist
right.
because he disagrees with
us. Sometimes it's a tense conversation. Sometimes it's a heated conversation. But at the end of the day, the conversation ends with both people still alive, both people still walking, both people maybe still disagreeing, but maybe in some ways have grown. And obviously, and the audience has probably grown who listened to it. But what happens in, say, Islam, it says that the Christians and the Jews can live amongst the Muslims as long as they pay what's called the jizya. And the jizya is called a humiliation tax. What's fascinating is I listened to a lecture by a notable scholar named Michael Youssef, who's done tons of studies in Islam and Middle East and all that. And he was saying, you know, for years upon years, we have, and most notably the region that he kind of oversees and studies is Egypt. He said, for years and years, we've been sending aid to Egypt. America has been sending aid to Egypt. And he said, from our end, we're sending aid to help people, to rebuild infrastructure, to help, in our hopes, move them towards democracy. He said, if you're in Egypt, what they believe is that we're sending a jizya, a humiliation tax, because we are a nation that is not Islamic by nature, by ideology, and so we have to pay this tax so that we might live in the world with them. So he said, on our fence, we're thinking we're sending aid. On their side of the fence, they're seeing it as a humiliation tax that's being paid to them and towards them so that we can live with them. Now, the Christians and the Jews can pay this tax because they call us people of the book. But the pagans, the idolaters, and the unbelievers, the Quran says, must be put to death. And so I'm presupposing, as I'm thinking about this and doing this, that we ought to pay attention to the atheists, because the atheists are sounding an alarm bell, because the atheists understand that as Islam is kind of rising and coming across, that they are going to be on the wrong end of I guess you would say the wrong end of the spear on this one. Now, they're currently, and you can research this on the internet. Time Magazine had some great articles. Huffington Post had some great articles. Voice of the Martyrs, a Gospel Coalition, number of resources. But there are 13 listed countries, 7 for sure, that are Islamic ruled, where if you're an atheist, you'll be put to death. And there is active participation in putting atheists to death. So what I think is, just like how we are as Christians looking at our brothers and sisters being persecuted across the pond, and we're going, oh my gosh, we need to pray for them. I think the atheists are also looking at their brothers and sisters in disbelief who are existing in those places and what they're suffering. And so for me, I think the atheists are actually sounding an alarm bell for us to let us know that, number one, not that we should be fearful, because we should never be fearful. We have God on our side. The Bible tells us enough times that whom shall I fear, because you are my light and the God of my salvation. But we need to be informed on what these things are. We need to understand what they are, because we're called to love these people. We're called to go in and try and evangelize these people and show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look, they know who Jesus is, but don't be kid yourself. They don't know the Jesus of our scriptures. They don't know the Jesus of the Bible. They know the Jesus who has been twisted and maligned through the writings of Muhammad, unfortunately, a kind of a shadow of the true Jesus. And so it's helpful to understand, to be informed, so that we can be equipped, because if not, what we're doing is every single one of us is taking the ideology of Islam and applying an opinion to it, not fact, but an opinion to it. And that's really a dangerous thing to do, especially with something that stands up and against the Christian faith.
I think we also mentioned earlier, this was off air, we had some delightful conversations, but when I was stating something I saw on Fox News, and this was a representative of Islam, he was a Muslim, and he said that, no, I'm moderate. And you said, well, what does that exactly mean? Because if you hold to the Islamic teaching and you hold to Islam, there's no such thing as really a moderate. And so sometimes we have to define terms because we can say, well, he's a moderate, but can he really be Islamic or a follower of Muhammad and hold views that are contrary to the Quran?
Well, and we have to understand that I think that there is a difference. And I don't know when push comes to shove what this difference makes. But I think that there is a difference between Muslims who are practicing in the United States and Muslims who are practicing in the Middle East. You know, I'm writing and working on something where because I'm taking all this stuff, I'm synthesizing because I'm trying to understand it so that I can love these people, evangelize to these people, and talk to these people because I see that I see Islam on the rise. It's in the news. And if anything, just so that we can be equipped as we even have these discussions about it. But I had mentioned that I was doing this to a couple of friends, and my brother-in-law said to me, he said, well, are you going to go and talk to a Muslim or go to a mosque? And I said, well, first thing you need to understand is this. I've been to the Middle East. Been on two trips to Israel now. A Muslim in the United States and a Muslim in the Middle East are two different things. A mosque in the United States and a mosque in the Middle East are two different things. I said, here in the United States, the mosque might live in and amongst the neighborhood of other churches, and that works well. Go to the Middle East, and when they meet on the mosque on the Temple Mount, they spend some of their time throwing rocks down on the other believers who are praying below. I said, and that's not like they're not, it's not a confetti and they're cheering them on while they're praying. It's a dangerous thing because there's a different kind of the ideology is working itself out differently. So we have to be careful because when push comes to shove, the Quran doesn't say that you get to be moderate. The Quran says you get to be faithful or unfaithful. There's not gray area in between there. The Quran is actually very clear on this. There was a woman who was debating a Jewish professor recently, and a Jewish professor asked her very pointedly a question pertaining to her belief, and she said, I can't answer that. She said, because if I answer it correctly, Homeland Security, if I answer it incorrectly, I could be killed by my Muslim brothers. And so her understanding was she's either a terrorist or she's unfaithful. And so there was no wiggle room for her in this. And it was almost when you saw the interview, and I can't remember the name of the Jewish speaker in that, but it was very, very revealing to the tense kind of place that somebody who would say they're a moderate Muslim is actually sitting in. Look, we're all moderate on some level or some degree on some issue until that issue arrives at our front door. Okay? We're all moderate. Like when Hitler came to the door to collect the Jewish people, it didn't matter if you were moderate or not moderate. It mattered if you were Jewish. When the Muslims come and they start knocking on the door, it's not going to matter if you're a moderate Muslim or you're a radical Muslim. It's going to matter, are you Muslim? And we're seeing that across the Middle East. Convert or die. Now, on the other side of this, I want to now... This is where people are just going to start writing and calling in. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. They're going to
stay with us. And if you just tuned in, go to the archive program link and listen to it in its entirety.
But this is where people are going to do this. I mean, recently there was a very well-known Christian who said, and I think the soundbite got pulled out of context. So it's very unfortunate that that happened. So if you can find Phil Robertson had made a comment regarding ISIS and regarding what's happening in the Middle East, and they kind of distilled down what he said to the soundbite of, those guys need to convert or they need to die. We need to go to war with them and we need to quell whatever it is that's happening. And I think we have to be really careful with that kind of rhetoric. Now, I know that when you watch the whole interview, that's not what Phil Robertson said, but that is the way the soundbite was captured and is being packaged. And that's very dangerous because that's the same rhetoric that this group is using themselves. They're saying convert or die. They're going across cities and knocking on doors. Are you
now,
a
this
Christian?
Is ISIS.
Yeah,
ISIL?
This is ISIS. Are you a Christian? Or Christians? Convert or die. And you don't have to travel far on the internet to see pictures of piles of people who said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to be really honest with you. When I pray for those people, I am absolutely worried about their physical safety. I am worried about their physical safety because, again, I have pictures of them being beheaded and being killed and being this. I'm absolutely worried about that. And a point of prayer for me is their physical safety. But there is never any point when I see that pile of bodies that I am worried about their spiritual health. because they stood up for Jesus when somebody said convert or die, and they paid the price, just like Paul said, to live as Christ, to die as gain. It's better to be with the Lord than so faith. But I do want to say this. I am absolutely worried about our spiritual health here. I'm not worried about our physical safety here. There's nobody coming to my neighborhood, knocking on doors, pulling people out of their house because they're Christians. That may come at some point. I don't know. But there's nobody there. But I want to tell you what. I am absolutely worried about our spiritual health, because we are very much in this day like the people in the book of Haggai in the first chapter, where the Lord comes and he says, is it not time to build my house? You live in fine and wonderful paneled homes. Is it not time that you would work on my house for my glory? And I think we are in that place right now where will we do the work of the Lord? It's funny. I think I did just some loose math one time. This was a number of years ago. But I did like the number of people that were in the world when Jesus made that proclamation, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and then the amount of people that are in the world today. And we could cover the world arm to arm. It was dozens of times, which means that we could reach every people group. We could reach all these people for the gospel. We could do that thing that Jesus called us to do, but we haven't. We haven't. In fact, I just listened to recently a missionary who did a talk, and he said he went out into the Himalayan mountains, and he said he came across 30 villages that had never heard the word Jesus. It was a new word to them. He said they had to stop and explain what it all meant. They had never even heard about it, never even heard about this Christ. So there are places where they have never even heard the word Jesus. And we have not gone faithfully as we should. And we have not gone to say our Muslim brothers and sisters as we should, out of whatever it is, fear or complacency, or we feel as though maybe we're in danger. Look at, you are in danger. You're in danger of spiritual complacency. We were made and wired to bring glory to God. We were made and wired. And when we bring glory to God, we have the most joy. And so it's not shocking to me that the world is covered with people who are on antidepressant medication, people who are seeking counseling, people who are feeling broken, people who are feeling hopeless, and people are feeling unhappy, because the kind of deep joy that comes through serving the Lord and bringing glory to Him, we are not seeking.
Yeah, I'm thinking that word complacency. And what's the church in Revelation where we're neither hot nor cold?
Oh, I mean, that's Laodicea.
Us, right? Okay, well, get
you
fired up.
I spit you out of my mouth. Lo, I am knocking at the door waiting.
Yep, as is SRN News, and we'll turn to that
they always
right
come.
Now. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.